Join us today for Saints and Sinners, as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas Michael McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken. Hello to all of our listeners.
And we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Both your prayerful and financial support that has kept us on the air for over 40 years now. And we can't thank you enough for that. One of the ways you can help us in the very near future will be at our golf outing that's going to take place on Monday, October the 14th. We're headed back to Talamore Country Club in Ambler, where we were last year. It should be a great day of golf. We have lunch and dinner and prizes, the whole gambit. Of course, a silent auction, all with the goal of raising much-needed funds in order to keep this great Catholic radio apostolate going. For more information, you can go to our website at inhissign.com. If you scroll to the bottom of the homepage, there's a link there to download a flyer that has all the information on registering for golf, dinner, as well as the numerous sponsorship activities. And if you or someone you know owns a business and might be interested in sponsoring a hole or any of the other activities where sponsorship's available, you might want to consider printing out a copy of that flyer and giving it to them. You never know. Ask some of the local businesses in your area that might be willing to support us, and you may be surprised at how many people are willing to donate. Our Matt Talbot Shrine in St. Gabriel's Church at the corner of 29th and Dickinson in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We open up following the 8:30 daily mass at the parish. And the shrine's usually open until 4 or 4:30 or so. Also, plans are underway for the centenary celebration of Matt Talbot's passing, which will take place in June of 2025. Our friends in Ireland are currently putting together a pilgrimage from the United States to Ireland. We'll probably originate in Ireland over in Knock, and then we'll make our way from west to east, culminating in a weekend in Dublin. To celebrate the life of Matt Talbot. As soon as we have more information about that, we'll be sure to pass it along. We're also looking to make a feature film about the life of Matt Talbot and currently trying to raise funds to make that happen. We have a website, matttalbotfilm.com, where you can see a short video about the project and then donate through GoFundMe. For the time being, we'll keep you updated on that as well. A couple of retreat opportunities coming up in the next month or so, on just a week and a half from now, August 16th to the 18th. Myself and over 100 other men will be out at the Malvern Retreat House for the Edward J. Friel Senior Memorial Retreat. It's a traditional men's retreat, although about half of us are in recovery. But it's not a recovery retreat open to all men. Our retreat director will be Father Bryce Lundgren, coming in from Cheyenne, Wyoming. He wrote a book that we talked about on the air last year entitled The Catholic Cowboy Way. So it should be an awesome weekend. Still have plenty of room. Anybody wants to register. We have a Matt Talbot Women's Retreat that's coming up. It's their second. They had their inaugural retreat last year. Out at Malvern, that's going to take place September 13th to the 15th. For either of these retreats and any retreat at Malvern, you can go to malvernretreat.com and click on register for a retreat, and you'll get a list of the retreats that are available in calendar order. So you may want to check that out. And we had Nan Freeman on a couple of weeks ago talking about an upcoming Rachel's Vineyard retreat. That's going to take place September 20th to the 22nd. Out at Dalesford Abbey. So for that, you would go to the Rachel's Vineyard Retreat. And even though this retreat's going to take place in Pennsylvania, you're going to want to click on Delaware, and you'll see the information for the retreat at Dalesford. All right, enough of the announcements. Let's get started with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And the following is a prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Father, are you still there? I think we may have lost Father. So we'll say amen on the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee, and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you. I think I lost Father. Let me see if I let him go, and we'll try to answer again. Hello, Father.
Hey.
Hey, there we go.
All slick in her.
Yeah.
Prayer.
Nah, there was some.
I was getting a lot of static, but it's going now.
Yeah. So. Same here. O Mary conceived without sin. So Our Lady of Recovery and Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Maximilian Kolbe.
Pray for us.
St. Mark G. and St. Monica.
Pray for us.
St. Camillus de Lillis and St. John of God.
Pray for us.
St. John Vianney and St. Dominic.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. All right. Hopefully we can keep old Red Legs at bay for the next hour and 53 minutes. This is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The numbers are 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, you can call us toll-free at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-24. 84. Also, both of today's shows are being broadcast over Facebook. You'll be able to see me. Father calls in from his residence there in Grays Ferry. So you won't see Father nor our guest in the 5 o'clock hour, Father Robert Spitzer. Should be a great show in the 5 o'clock hour as well today.
I'll be here, Ken.
Yep.
You won't see me, but I'll be here. You can't see Jesus, but he's here.
Amen. especially want your calls as we go to the break at the bottom of the hour. We'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment when we come back from the break. We're currently in the 18th week in Ordinary Time and a full slate of saints this week. One every day, as a matter of fact. On Sunday the 4th, we probably didn't hear it because it was Sunday, but it's normally the feast day for St. John Vianney, a priest. On Monday the 5th, the dedication of the Basilica of St. Mary Major. On Tuesday the 6th was the Transfiguration of the Lord. Today we celebrate a couple. It's St. Sixtus II, who was a pope, as well as his companions, all of which were martyrs. And then St. Cajetan, who was a priest. Tomorrow the 8th, St. Dominic. On Friday the 9th, St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross, also known as Edith Stein, who was a virgin and martyr. And on Saturday the 10th, St. Lawrence, deacon and another martyr. So we're going to start today with St. John Vianney, the patron of parish priests. He was born on May the 8th in the year 1786 and would die on August the 4th, 1859. Apparently he had a tough time as a young man with schooling. They wasn't prepared well enough in order to go into the seminary, especially because he his failure to comprehend Latin lectures. So he went on to get some private tutoring. And after much study and tutoring, he was eventually ordained. He had impossible deeds that seemed to follow him everywhere. He was at the parish at Ars, where he encountered a bunch of people that were, you know, comfortable with the way they were living, and kind of sounds like the way things are today. But it didn't stop him from doing his best, and he had this vision of bringing these folks back, and that would lead to severe fasts and short nights of sleep. He established a home for girls that was called La Providence, and he depended on the other people for spiritual and material needs, and I think people may have thought that this was an impossible thing, but sure enough, he was able to get this, all the support for that home. He's probably best known as his work as a confessor, and he would spend 11 to 12 hours a day during the winter and up to 16 hours in the summer in the confessional, hearing people's confession and reconciling them with God. And so, obviously, if you were spending that much time in the confessional, it didn't leave a whole lot of time for sleep, but he never retired. As Father McKay would say, he probably just kept rewiring and just kept doing what he was doing. The fame would spread, and people would come from all over. Father may tell the story. They even had to put in a train line to Ars. So many people wanted to come and see him. But they did try to get a couple hours sleep a day, and even when he just tried that, he would frequently be disturbed by the devil, it says. So he kept fighting the good fight. I can only imagine the thousands, if not millions, of confessions he heard in those years. And in 1929, as I said, Pope Pius XI named him the patron of parish priests worldwide. St. John Vianney, whose feast day we celebrate on August the 4th. Father?
And John Paul II made him the patron of all priests. Anyway, there's three things. I always like those triple tripods, kind of spiritual life. He said, how to advance in the spiritual life. Number one, gospel. Number two, imitation of Jesus. And number three, the saints. And all through, it's all about prayer. That's how we connect ourselves and unite ourselves with the Lord. And in the Office of Readings, he writes this, my little children, reflect on these words. The Christian's treasure is not on earth, but it's in heaven. Our thoughts then ought to be directed to where our treasure is. This is the glorious duty of man, to pray and to love. There it is, to pray and to love. Prayer, it's nothing else but union with God. When one has a heart that's pure, he says, united with God, he's given kind of serenity, a sweetness, and he makes him ecstatic. God and the soul are fused together like two bits of wax. You know, really big on prayer. And the saints, you know, he says this about the saints. He said, through prayer, we receive a foretaste of heaven, and something of paradise comes down upon us. Prayer never leaves us without sweetness. Never leaves us without sweetness. And he says this, some men immerse themselves as deeply in prayer as fish in water because they give themselves totally to God. There's no division in their hearts. Oh, how I love these noble souls. St. Francis of Assisi, St. Colette used to see our Lord and talk to him just as we talk to one another. And he says this about prayer. We ought to pray like four-year-old children with no guile. They tell their mothers everything. He did have a great devotion to the saints. And St. Francis of Assisi, he wanted to be a Franciscan. He wanted to be a Carmelite. And the bishop said, no, stay in the town of Ars. But this is something I came across. One particular saint, John Vianney, was greatly inspired by what was St. Francis of Assisi. His admiration for St. Francis was so great that Vianney himself desired to become a Franciscan Capuchin friar. However, after strong instruction from his bishop not to leave his position as parish priest in the French town of Ars, so Vianney found that the best way he could continue to live his Franciscan spirituality while remaining a diocesan priest was to join the Third Order Franciscans. Third Order Franciscans. Gospel, imitating of Jesus and the saints. And there's just so many beautiful things about him. One of my favorite quotes, Ken, that he says is about the priesthood. He says that the priest he said that the love of the heart of Jesus, the priesthood is the love of the heart of Jesus. Let me repeat that. The priesthood is the love of the heart of Jesus. Because we priests can take bread and wine, and through our hands and our heart, Jesus Christ will change that bread and wine into his body and blood. And on that confessional, Jesus Christ, through his priest, will have a one-on-one with penitents and forgive sins and increase that soul with graces beyond telling. You know, here it is, the priesthood. That's why the priesthood is the love of the heart of Jesus, because we can have an intimacy with Jesus, a one-on-one with Jesus. So many thoughts about John Vianney. One was the... someone came to him one time. Patrick Kennedy, if he's listening, would like this one. Someone came and, you know, really hurting, and John Vianney said, well, we must go to God. Go to God. He said, how? And John Vianney made a fist, and he shot it through his hand into the sky. He said, straight like a cannonball. That's how we go to God. And here's an interesting thing. When he came into ours, it was after the French Revolution there. Nobody was going to church. Everybody was working on the Sabbath, on Sunday. The bars were all crowded. You know, the church was kind of breaking down. Nobody was even in there. And he comes in and he sees this. And nobody's doing penance. Nobody's living the gospel. You know what he does? He does the penance for the people of ours. He begins to make sacrifices for the people of ours. The devil called him the potato eater because he would only eat one potato a day, one potato a day. Because he wanted to fast for the people. And when he did, people started to change. They started to repent. They started to come back to church. They come into the confessional. They were listening to his instructions. And yet, you know, it was a time where he had a hard time being ordained. And all the priests, you know, they were kind of, I guess, a little jealous of him, said that he should be removed. He shouldn't be preaching anywhere, especially on the pulpit. And they got this petition up. You know, the sign-in, all these priests are signing it to really stop Vianney from preaching. And so the petition comes into his hands, and he signs it. He signs it himself. It goes to the bishop, and, of course, that's not accepted. So here's a man, you know, so holy. And that's Jesus Christ. That's what a priest should be, like Jesus Christ. You know, it's all gospel. You know, imitate Jesus Christ. Imitate the saints who imitated Jesus Christ. That's all gospel. They marry the word of God. You know, they keep the commandments of Jesus. They fulfill his laws. They go the extra mile. You know, they deny themselves, pick up their cross. They follow the Lord into glory. And then it comes to the point, you no longer see the saint. You see Jesus Christ shining through them. But they said, here's the other thing. They said he never lost his temper or smile. That's amazing. Never lost his temper or smile. And he was really accused of different things. Once, I love this story where he was accused of fathering a child. And the neighbors came to him and they had the little infant. And they said, this is your child, you hypocrite priest. You take care of this child. And he looked at them and kind of smiled and took the child in his arms and said, very well, very well. And then he gave the child out to someone that would take care of the child. He would pay for the child's upkeep. But after a year, the villagers found out that the father was the next-door neighbor. And they came all apologetic to the saint and said, we're sorry. Can we have the child back? And he takes the child and he says, very well, very well. It was always the will of God. You know, he always took delight in the will of God. Whatever happened, he can always smile, never lose his temper. But yet, so faithful and obedient, you know, to the church. You know, you look at Satan, the devil. You know, he can disguise himself in humility, but never in obedience. I will not serve. And yet, that was John Vianney's whole thing. Total obedience to church teaching. On Fridays, Ken, he used to go out, and he would, his outlet was an orphanage that he founded. He loved visiting the children and staying with the children, giving them candy, you know, teaching them about the gospel. And then the bishop called him in and said to Vianney, Father Vianney, you have to close the orphanage, and I will reopen it after a year. And John Vianney said, you won't reopen it after a year. And it's not God's will that you should close the orphanage. And he said, well, I'm the bishop, and we're going to close it. And St. John Vianney said, it's not God's will that you close the orphanage, but it is God's will that I obey you. That obedience, Ken, and that book you gave me was really powerful. It's like obedience to the church. That's our unity. You know, let's do what the church is asking us to do. At the holy sacrifice of the Mass, let's follow the rubrics that the church has given to us. That not everybody wants to do their own thing, but what's the church wants it to do? The bride of Christ. That's the obedience we need to give. And we have complete unity and community with Jesus Christ. So, a holy man. People used to go after him to touch his garment, his shabby cassock, you know, to get a relic. He used to say, go home and make your own relics. He said this about the priesthood. He said that the priest should be dressed in a chasuble of gold and a shabby cassock. Think of that, you know, how true that is, you know. The beauty of the Mass, you know, the glitter, you know, it's all transcendent. It's all pointing to what we don't see, you know, what we don't hear. We give God our best. But so many beautiful stories. And how he often fought with this, the devil. And the devil said to him, if they were three of you, John, I'd be out of business. Imagine that. If there were three of John Vianney's, he'd be out of business. One day, you know, the devil was always trying to attack him. I believe the devil set his bed on fire, but he never got fearful of the devil. And one day, it was he was up sleeping, and downstairs, it was like a chill downstairs, and he heard the rocking chair going back and forth. Then he lit his candle, and he went down. He saw this image in his rocking chair, this dark image. So he went over to look to see who was rocking in the chair, and here was Satan himself. And he looked at the devil, and he said, oh, it's only you. And he blew out the candle and went back to bed. If there were three of you, the devil would be out of business, Satan said. Call him a potato eater. But so many wonderful, beautiful stories about this great saint, St. John Vianney, Ken. Yeah. But pray and love. So many, it's all about prayer. Those three things, the tripod, how to advance in the spiritual life, the gospel, marry the word, imitate Jesus, and the lives of the saints. The priesthood is the love of the heart of Jesus. He said this about the priesthood. The priest is the key to open the hidden treasures to the heart of Jesus. You know, people caught on. They knew him. 20,000 people would come every year just to see this saint and hopefully to get a confession heard from him. That was Jesus Christ and John Vianney drawing souls to himself, how he transformed that little ours, but not only ours, Europe itself and even the world. St. John Vianney, pray for us.
Pray for us is right. We'll get back to St. John Vianney in a second. Father, we got a caller on the line. We're going to go to Anne Marie. Hello, Anne Marie.
Hey, Ken. Hey, Father. How are you?
Hey, Anne-Marie. How you doing?
We're blessed. Thank you. Listen, Father, I wanted to share a story with you. With a guy who fell off a little bit of the wagon and went to the bar to drink. And he came over to the house, and he says he wanted to go back. And all of a sudden, I seen on my phone on I don't know if it was YouTube or an email, but it said last call. You know, we went to the pizza place, you know, before he was going to go back to the bar, you know, because he's like, come on, let's have one. So let's just come on over. And, you know, and then, you know, because he couldn't walk, you know. And anyway, so when I seen that, I said, I'm telling you, Chuck, you know, Father shared me a story, and it's not a dumb coincidence because I seen it yesterday, but I didn't get a chance to look at it, and here I am looking at it now, and you want to go back in the drink. I'm telling you, this is your last call, and I shared his story, what you said about last call with God. Hmm. And here, he didn't go. He listened, and you know the next day he went to the hospital?
You go.
Yeah, we never know.
God.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
He heard the Lord speak to him through you and Marie.
Yeah,
if it wasn't for you,
I wouldn't have known that story.
Yeah. How about that? Last call.
And then there was something behind that. Follow me.
Yeah.
And I've been following him ever since this radio program.
Amen. And he's back to church, too. He went to confession, too, that week.
Yeah.
You know, after he came back from the hospital.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
And I'm not sure. Maybe I took him, I forget, you know, but I might have took him to the confession that day. Yeah, I did. I took him that day. Yes. And he got the anointing, confession and anointing of the sick from the priest. And the next thing you know, he went back to the hospital, Nazareth Hospital, and then he got the anointing again. That's how powerful it was. So I thank you for sharing that story. Continue to do that, Father.
Yeah,
and Ken, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
I guess you will. All the best to you and John.
Yeah, thank you. And Father, we'll see you at Malvern on the 13th to the 15th for Divine Will.
Wonderful.
And you're not
gonna
be there.
We all have a God story.
Malvern?
Yep. Yeah, Father probably won't get there till Thursday, but he'll be there before you leave.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
All right, Emery.
Right, God bless
you.
Keep up the good work.
All right, you too. God bless.
Thank you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Secular Franciscans.
Yep, yep. And Emery and John are both on the Divine Will Cenacle call every morning. John's one of our readers, and I think he and I are the only men other than Deacon John Thompson. So it was great when they started to join us each morning. But anyway, we were talking about St. John Vianney. Before we wrap it up, I want to give out the phone numbers again. We're going to take a break here in about 3 minutes. And when we come back from the break, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. And I've got actually have one around the Divine Will I'll share with our listeners. But the phone numbers are 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or call us toll-free at 888-343-2484. The story with John Vianney, I think it was John Vianney that always got me, was the one where they built the, I think he put the site of the Passion up on the top of the mountain, and the bishop didn't show up.
Yeah, that was, gosh.
That wasn't John Vianney?
No, it'll come to me in a minute. My memory here. Gosh.
Very well.
Big Marian man, priest, yeah.
I got them confused. We've been doing this for 9 years, and after a while, they kind of cross-pollinate.
Consecration to Mary, 33 days.
Oh, Louis de Montfort.
Louis de Montfort.
Yeah.
That's who it was, Ken, St. Louis de Montfort.
Yeah, but John Vianney was the very well guy.
Yeah,
very well.
But let me tell that story, St. Louis de Montfort, that was powerful. That they wanted to, they built this cavalry scene on a high hilltop, and it took a year to do it. And they had the big crucifix across all the statues, Mary, St. John, and the bishop was to come to bless it. So he didn't show up the day for the dedication, so he went to the bishop's residence and knocked on the door. He said, "We're all waiting for you to come and dedicate our monument and to bless it." And he said, "Well, I can't. The king forbade me. He sees it as a threat to the kingdom, and you must tear it down." And he went back to all the people, and he said, "It was God's will we build it, and it's God's will that we tear it down." Never lost his peace, you know. It's amazing. God's will. In his will, pretend we find our peace, our joy, our love. We find our God in his will. Live the will of God, and we'll be happy.
Yep. That's what we've been talking about the last few weeks in Calyx with Alphonsus Liguori and Uniformity with God's Will. We want to continue in the 5 o'clock hour today with Father Spitzer and talking about happiness. And you know, it's one of the things that you know when we don't know the saints, we don't read their lives. You know, we often think they're a bunch of you know sourpusses that always had their nose in a breviary or the Bible, and you know, spent their whole life on their knees and really didn't have any happiness. And the more you read about them, and you understand the joy that they had, that is beyond any happiness that we can imagine. So that's why I think it's important. I think this show is important. We talk about the lives of the saints and the role that they played, and you know, most of them did not have easy lives. And it was because of their their perseverance and their faith that the church holds them up as examples for all of us. And they did. They led joyful lives. So we're at the bottom of the hour. We're going to go ahead and take a short break. And when
okay.
we come,
yep. Could I just end with just one little thing.
Sure.
Just again, you know, three ways to advance us in spiritual life: gospel, imitating Jesus, and the saints. And when we say the saints, Mary and Joseph is like that hierarchy of saints. And he always recommended the rosary. He prayed the rosary, the Angelus, sure prayers, and above all, liturgical prayer. So the duty of man is really just to pray and to love. It's that simple, to pray and to love. Amen.
Amen. All right, call in with your odd or God stories. The number is 610-527-2906 or toll free 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Linda Purcell. I listen to In His Sign Catholic Radio every chance I get. Kathleen convicts me with the words of our Lord. Kathleen lives in His love, and for me, just the opportunity to listen to her is my road to Emmaus. My heart is burning for our Lord Jesus. I am set on fire each time I tune in to In His Sign Catholic Radio. Why don't you give it a try, too?
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston, my good friend, Father McKay. And before we get going here, just a reminder, we want to have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. All the telephone lines are open. The number is 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or toll free, 888-343-2484. Quick rundown of the Calix units here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. And nearby Wilmington, Delaware, we get together every Tuesday night in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. Most Tuesdays, we're in our Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson Street, where we begin with adoration at 6 o'clock, Mass at around 6:20, and then a Calyx meeting after. On the third Tuesday of the month, we go over to St. Gabriel's Church, where we have a holy hour from 6 to 7 p.m., Father McKay, and we often have other priests there that help with confessions. We pray some Matt Talbot Novena prayers. Of course, our Matt Talbot shrine is in the church. And then at 7 o'clock, we have Mass. The third Tuesday this month is August the 20th. The unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown meets on the first and third Thursdays of the month at 7 o'clock in the Parish Center. Their next meeting will be on Thursday, August the 15th. The Glenside unit at St. Luke's meets on the third Saturday of the month. Because most of us are going to be on retreat at Malvern this year, we're going to skip the August meeting, and we'll reconvene in September. The unit at the Malvern Retreat House meets on the third Sunday of the month. They have mass at 4 o'clock, usually in St. Joe's Hall, followed by refreshments and then a meeting. The third Sunday in August will be August the 18th. The unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the last Saturday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. They will meet on August the 24th. And in nearby Wilmington, Delaware, we have a Calyx unit that meets at St. Matthew's every Wednesday for Mass at 6:15 p.m., followed by a Calyx meeting. Also, a reminder that we can, you know, we always appreciate your financial help. But if you're interested in sponsoring one of our shows, especially on the these Wednesdays, you can go to inhissign.com and click on the donate page, make a donation there, or at the Our House Ministries website, ourhouseministries.com. If you click on the donate page, there's a link there with an amount that can be used to sponsor this hour. But again, thanks for all you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio that allows us to bring you great shows like today's. We're going to go to the phones in line two. Hello, Frank.
Good afternoon, Ken.
Good afternoon, Frank. How are you, brother?
I made a mistake. Right before your show started, I returned a phone call, and I thought it was going to be 2 minutes. I was on the 410-412, so I missed the beginning.
That's all right. Your disappointments are divine appointments, right, Father?
Right. Well, listen to this, Ken.
Okay.
I got good news and bad news. I got good news for two of you, but bad news for one of you, and you're not one. Same. The good news is there's Father Douglas, Matt Tabbitt McKay, also the mayor of South and Southwest Philly. There's Captain Miller, the Prince of Packer Park. But I don't have a nickname for you, Ken. Tell me more. I need a nickname for you.
I don't need a nickname. I'm good.
Did you play hockey as a kid? Or anything?
No.
I'll give him a nickname. The Hidden Apostle of Our House Ministries.
I'll think of an acronym for that, Hidden Apostle.
Okay, I'm going to work on it. Get back to you next week.
Ken does all the work, and I get all the credit.
Did you say a prayer for Jamie Roman still?
Yeah, we are.
Good.
Every one of our masses, when we go over to the Matt Talbot Shrine on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we remember him. So.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm going to work your nickname, Ken.
All right.
Father Doug, what's his name again? I forgot already.
The Hidden Apostle.
H-A, ha.
Hidden apostle. Hey, Ken, my mind's more creative when I'm sober, and this ain't too creative. I'm real bad.
Yeah. So somebody just sent me a text message and said to call me Kenny Cigars.
Kenny Cigars? Guess what? I'm half Cuban on my dad's side. I'm too bad he's not around because he got a couple of diamonds or something like that.
There you go. Keep a good thought. Always good to hear from you, Frank.
How's it going, Kenny?
All right, you too. Bye-bye now. All right, we're going to let Frank go, and we got Bob on the line. Hello, Bob.
Hello, Ken.
Hey, great to see you last week, brother, in the flesh.
Yeah, well, thank you. It was great to be there.
Yeah. How's things in Fruitland Park, Florida?
Very good. Heavy wind, a little rain. Nothing happened here whatsoever except some leaves came off, you know, the dead leaves came off palm trees,
yeah.
Big palm fronds all over the place. Other than that, everything's fine.
Very good. I think we're supposed to get it towards the end of the week up here.
Yeah, I heard it's moving that way.
Yeah. Well, so what's on your mind?
There was a hurricane named Bob, but it didn't amount to anything.
Yeah.
Well, I know this is the Odd But God section, and I don't have an Odd But God story, but I figured you'd let me call.
All right. Well, thanks for calling. No.
I was going to say, Father talked about obedience, and he talked about St. Francis being able to talk to God, like just to have a conversation. It's weird. I've been praying to St. Joseph for a long time now, and I feel like he's my friend, you know. But he was one of the things I like. He was instantly obedient, you know. I mean, when God told him to take the child and go to Egypt, you know, he didn't pack a suitcase. They left, boom, you know. And his other virtue was silence. And you know me, I need silence, you know?
So, not you.
Seriously. Yeah, I talk too much, you know? But the other thing, Father always says, in all things, give thanks. Well, this coming Tuesday, they're going to give me hearing aids. In the past, I would have been upset that I need hearing aids, but in all things, give thanks. I'm getting them for free from the VA. They're very, very expensive, you know?
Mm.
They're going to take care of me, and I'm looking forward to them. You know, I'll be able to hear, you know? So.
Yeah.
I'll find out what you guys have been saying behind my back.
Now we say it to your face.
You do.
Yeah.
I know you do.
Yeah.
Now you'll talk less and listen to us.
There you go.
You'll be able to hear us.
So that's all.
God gave us two ears and one mouth.
And it was great to see everybody.
Something there.
Yeah. No, it was good. We're glad you made the trip up and had an opportunity to swing by and see us.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It was terrific.
All right,
and don't forget, you're invited. You know.
Yeah.
You know. So, in fact, everybody in Grays Ferry, I gotta, you know.
Whoa! You gotta watch there. They'll be chartering a plane. You'll end up with 100 of them at the same time. Yeah.
Nah. Well, this is the Wildwood of the South. You know?
There you go.
You know, there's a town right next door called Wildwood.
Oh yeah.
Wood, Florida.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right, brother. It's always good to hear from you. Thanks for the call.
Right. Yep. You take care.
All right. Bob, you too. Now.
Love that, Bob.
Yeah. What about Bob? And we haven't heard from the other Bob in quite a while. But anyway, Otter God. I shared it last night. And I thought it was pretty cool that on Monday morning, I was able to make daily mass at St. David's in Willow Grove. My friend Father Wackerman was pinch hitting there for the daily mass, and so we went over and had mass, and then grabbed a bite to eat afterwards. And then he was telling me towards the end of our conversation about a mutual friend of ours, Father Paul Stenson, and. So after we finished our conversation, I hop in the car, I drive down to the ministry, and when I got there, Father McKay was out, but when he comes in, and he says to me the exact same thing that Father Wackerman had said to me less than an hour before, and that was that, you know, that Father Paul Stenson, he's into the divine will like you. And I was like, Otter God, that two different people tell me that within an hour, and then yesterday afternoon, I had an opportunity to go out and pick Father Paul Stenson up at Sacred Heart in Clifton Heights, and he came up and celebrated Mass for us at our Calyx gathering last night. And so we had a chance to talk in the car on the way up about Louisa Picaretta and the gift of the divine will. So interesting that this thing is slowly creeping out. You know, we don't know who all's out there that has learned about Louisa and studying it, but... get tidbits here and there. So, is that odd or is that God?
It's God.
Yeah.
I was grateful for Father Paul. You know, he celebrated Mass, and I sat in the pew with all the sheep, and he wore beautiful vestments, and the light was on him. It was like a radiance from Father Paul. He was so reverent.
Yeah.
And when he gave his homily about, you know, the Father and all, it was like, it was really powerful, Ken.
Yeah.
He's a holy priest.
Yeah, really. And, The adjectives that he uses whenever he never, at least I haven't, it seems this way anyway, that he never says just Jesus. It's always sweet Jesus or loving Jesus, or he always puts that adjective on there. And you can see the devotion he has for our Lord.
You need more priests like him.
And I don't know if it's the same Frank or a different Frank. Let's see. On the phone. Hello, Frank.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, how are you?
Good. I saw you at Calyx last night.
Oh.
There were Patty and saw Father Doug, had some pizza. And I just wanted to call in about an odd with God.
Okay.
So how do you say that again? How do you say that again? Odd.
Odd or God. Is that odd or is that God? And then it often gets abbreviated to just odd or God.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm picking Patty up yesterday, and we're running out of town, so I'm thinking about, you know, she's going through some stuff, but I wasn't even thinking about, like, you know, and I said, just letting God give me the path of the day anyway. So all of a sudden it's like, oh, you know what, Pat, you want to go to Calyx and stuff like that? So she meets Chuck. He gives her a little tour of the ministries and stuff like that. And, you know, but when she got in the car at my condo earlier today, she said, oh, I think I got two fleas on me or something like that, right? And then, you know, I got a little, you know, she was coming out of my condo. I'm like, oh, what are you saying? My condo has fleas now, right? I'm like, come on, Patty, get over it. So, that just went, you know, the rest of the day went on. And then we ended up at Calyx. We were able to go to Mass and all that. It was great stuff and get the Eucharist. But the one thing that Father Doug was sharing at the end, and there's two things. Well, I'll just share this, the one. The one thing was Father Doug was talking about fleas.
I knew you were going to say that.
Right? Yeah. And I'm talking to, I'm looking, and Patty's sitting a couple rows in front of me. So I'm saying, is she going to turn around and look at me? Is she going to, like, get that, like, you know, like, you're, in other words, God's, to me, God's telling her that she's in the right spot.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
But it was hilarious. Yeah. And then I thought he only said it once. It's like, oh, wow, she's not going to get it, you know? And he said it again, and he said it, I think, like, the third time. He said, please. It was like, I don't know if she got it the third time. I got to ask her because I'm getting ready to pick her up at Pennsylvania Hospital.
Yeah.
But it's so funny because all of a sudden he said it again. And, like, when he said it, he said, please. It felt like, you know, like somebody was, like, an angel or somebody was going in her ear. And she turns around and looks at me and smiles. I'm like, gotcha. So I just wanted to call in, and I just talked to Mike McLaughlin and Chuck, and they just shot me the phone number. I was sitting here waiting for her to come out because I know you guys are getting ready to get off. So thanks for taking my call.
Great to hear from you. It's been great seeing you the past couple of months, Frank.
Yeah, I'll be around.
All right, brother.
Looking forward to going to possibly Malvern for the Calyx there. I think it's, when is that?
Next weekend, the 16th to the 18th. Okay. Be great to have you out there.
Hey, Frank, give thanks for everything, fleas and all, right? But, Frankie, I want you to know, I remember you as a little boy on 28th Street on your tricycle. And your sister Kathy and Michael, your dear mom, but up and down 28th Street on that little tricycle, this little innocent little boy, and not knowing that our paths would cross later on in life. So keep up your good work, Frank. God bless you. You were a great neighbor with you and your mom.
Yeah.
Thanks, Father. Have a great day, guys.
All right, you too, Frank. God bless.
All right.
Bye-bye now. I got about 11 minutes left. Father, you got an otter god?
Yeah, you know, I wanted to mention that one about, Mario D'Adamo, Ken. And I hope his mom and dad's listening. And he just celebrated his first anniversary of his eternal birthday in heaven, Mario. And, of course, the terrible, tragic accident there at the lakes. And I always like to go by and just stop at that spot where he has a little shrine there and just to say some prayers. But he had his anniversary there on Sunday, on August the 4th. It was actually St. John Vianney who got bumped out. But, you know, I was talking to Mario, his father, and he was telling me about the story with St. John Vianney where his son Michael just wanted to go for, Eucharistic prayer. It was late at night. He just wanted to go into the chapel, and luckily, he got into the chapel. It seemed like the Lord opened up all the doors. And he was admiring this one statue, but he didn't know who he was. And he looked and looked, and here it was St. John Vianney. You know, and there it is, St. John Vianney, you know, otter god, that he would go back to God on that feast day of John Vianney and have that intercession of John Vianney. But that was an otter god. And, you know, I just want to share this too, Ken. I think you remember the prayer this morning. We do our contemplative prayer. And, you know, when these saints talk about prayer, they're talking about contemplative prayer. They're talking about deep prayer, talking about being like a fish, you know, deep in the ocean, in the water. And we were doing, you know, our Lectio Divina. And we were actually on the the oratio, which is really we respond to the gospel of that day. And of course, the gospel of the day was the Canaanite woman who comes begging, hollering out to Jesus to cure her daughter, who was inflicted with a demon, tortured. And the apostles are trying to say, you know, keep her quiet, tell her to get out. And our Lord says, well, it's not right to take the food from children and give it to the dogs. And she says, well, even the dogs eat the scrapes from the children's table. And there it was like Jesus, he knew what she was going to say. He wasn't like degrading her. And that dog was like a little dog, you know, and he was saying it, I'm sure, with some kind of smile. Like you could say, you rascal, you know, and really be, you know, your tone will be negative. But you can say with a smile and it'd be something positive. So anyway, this is what we were on. And the oratio was we put ourselves in the scene. And I put myself in the scene, and it was me. And I come up to Jesus, and I'm shouting out like Bartimaeus. And the apostle saying, keep that Douglas quiet. And I keep shouting out, and Jesus says, bring him to me. And I went to Jesus, and Jesus says, well, what do you want me to do for you, Douglas? And I looked at him, and I said, I want to see you. And it was so selfish, because I wanted to see you, Jesus, for me. And Jesus said, you want to see me? I'll show you me. And all of a sudden, Ken, and you know I couldn't even talk. Tears were coming down my eyes and all. I just saw people like Paula, like Kathy, like Colleen Howarth, you know, whose anniversary we celebrate today for Ryan. You know, all the suffering that goes on, you know. I was looking at the addicts on the bridges, up sleeping in cars, up alleyways, the darkness, you know, and Jesus is saying to me, you want to see me? There I am. I'm in the suffering of my people, Douglas. That's where you see me the most. And it was like, it just took me over a bridge from, you know, looking for me to be blessed and seeing others who really need to be blessed through our prayers. And when I went back to really talking about, you know, the woman, she's praying for her daughter and she's not praying for herself. And Jesus loves those kind of prayers, you know, because the addicts out there, they're paralyzed. They depend on our prayers, our sacrifices. And God hears the prayers of mothers and fathers, and he hears the prayers of the church and all. But yet, like Paula, who suffers, who misses her son Mario, and as well as Mario missing his son, and Kathy missing the children, Colleen missing Brian. You know, I miss my brother Anthony, my brother Harry, you know, and the suffering there. And there's where we see Jesus, because he suffers in each and every one of us. And he loves each and every one of us. And that was my otter God right there. My otter God was, he gave me that experience to help me to see, you know, the suffering in my brothers and sisters and to pray for them. And like St. Augustine said, whoever sings prays twice. And I came up with this. Whoever prays once for another prays twice for themselves. There it is. Pray for others. Look at others and see Jesus in others. And we will find him in ourselves, Ken. But that was my otter God.
Amen. We got about 5 minutes left. That's not going to do justice to St. Dominic. But we can get in a little bit if you want, Father.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, just a quick intro. Was born August 8th in the year 1170. He would die on August the 6th in the year 1221. Contemporary of St. Francis of Assisi. And started the Dominican order in order to, originally talk about the Albigensians, the heresy that had started at the time. And Father, before we go further on St. Dominic, we are going to go to the phones. I think our friend Mario was listening. Hello, Mario.
Hey, Father Doug. Hey, Ken. How are you doing, guys?
Good, brother. How are you?
Hey, Mario.
I just heard you tell the story, Father Doug. And just to reiterate, that's what occurred one night. Michael and I were driving, and he was having a bad night. And he just said, can't we find a church that's open? And he doesn't go to church that often, but he just was really wanted to go into a church. And we're driving. I said, I don't know. I'm looking on the internet. I don't think anybody has any chapels that are open. There used to be one up in Ben Salem, a Lady of Fatima, they're closed. He said, well, let me try here. And he tried Stella Maris, and I said, yeah, I hope you don't make the alarm go off, Michael. You're going into a 12 o'clock at night. And he comes back to the car. I said, no, there's a place you can go down. There's adoration down there. There's a chapel. I found out later you need a key fob to get in. But that night, anyway, he and I walked. He said, here's the entrance. And there was a statue. I said, I think that's St. John Vianney, but I've never seen a statue of him before. Not a big one. But anyway, on August 3rd till midnight on August 4th, I went to the Adoration Chapel alone because that was the anniversary of my son's death. And I'm walking into the chapel. I said, oh, there's that statue again. And then I looked at it and Googled it, and I found out, Father Doug, you had told me once before. I said, he died on August 4th, the day my son died. Mm-hmm. And that was the spot that my son felt attracted to go to that night. He ran to that spot. So, yeah, it is Otter God, but hearing you guys speak about St. John Vianney and reading about him, he was a man who dedicated his life to helping people repent of their sins and get forgiveness for their sins through confession. And I know my son Mario, he really became in close contact with the Lord, not through a Catholic church, although he didn't renounce his Catholicism at all. He did get very close to a Protestant minister that he found just by happenstance in the court system, who one day led my son to go to a little Baptist church months before he died. And confesses, his faith in Jesus openly in front of people. And I remember him coming home and he was saying, I'm born again, I'm born again. So God works in strange ways, as we know. And Father Doug, you've been such a blessing to me and Paula, reaching out. And even your brother. Your brother comes by and Paula sees him at the spot where Mario was struck by that car. So we love you, Father Doug, and you've been a great help to us. Please continue to keep us in your prayers.
Yeah, thank you, Mario. I was hoping you would call, and you did. And St. John Vianney died at 2 p.m. during a thunderstorm. Always remember, that always stuck with me. But the other thing was, too, that connects with John Vianney, was what you had put on, you said yourself, you put on the memorial, ASAP, always stop and pray.
Right.
And that was always one of my sayings, you know, always stop and pray, ASAP, as soon as possible. But if I may just mention that experience that I had, Mario, you know, and that was at the altar. And I remember Father Shea was the main celebrant, and I was celebrating, and we come right to the Eucharistic part where he picks up the bread. And all of a sudden, I'm transcended right to Calvary, and I'm right there with Jesus Christ crucified and dying, and I'm actually seeing this. And I hear your son's voice, Mario's voice, said, tell my mother and father I'm okay, I'm with God.
Praise God.
That was very powerful for me. And all of a sudden I came out of it and said, what part of the Mass are we? I was just taken out of the temple, and I was placed in the eternal at that moment of the crucifixion for Mario, that Jesus Christ, he died for each and every one of us. It's so personal, and I experienced that being so personal with Mario. And I'll say it again and again, Mario is okay, he's with God. That's what I heard, and that's what I told you, and that's what I
believe with all my heart.
And, you know, all we got to do is be with God, and there's peace and joy in our hearts.
Yeah, I heard about that, Father, before you even told me. Mike Romeo called me up. He said, I was at a Mass. He says, I don't want to tell you too much. And he was crying. I said, what happened? He said, call Father Doug. He'll explain it to you. And then you, of course, told Paul and me in your little office there at the old funeral home.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Amen.
I don't want to keep you. I know it's the top of the hour and you have another guest. But I love you guys. I love you all my heart.
Mario and Paula, and thank you for all you do for In His Sign.
Yeah.
And for the salvation of souls and the honor and glory of God. So God bless you and Paula, and eternal rest grant to your son, Mario. Amen.
Thanks, Mario. Always good to hear from you, pal.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Be good. All right. You got 12 seconds, Father.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, bless us all. Ryan, Howard, to all those mothers and fathers who have buried sons, and also for Jamie Roman and all those who are suffering. All of us, Lord, make our hearts one with yours, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we've already got our guest, Father Robert Spitzer, on the line. Don't go away. We'll be right back.